I want to welcome everybody again. Hope that you are praying for the service. I'll say that I need your prayers. And it's through prayer that we communicate with God. Open up your heart to Him. You start talking to Him, He'll talk back. You can feel the service. It's not enough just to be at church, but you've got to participate. It's not a spectator sport, but it's one to join in by talking to God, listening to God, reading the Word. As I read these scriptures, don't just listen, and I hope you listen, but don't just listen, but read along as well. The scriptures that are the Word of our Heavenly Father teaching us what to think about, what to know, and how to be. The words of life. And so I hope that everybody can do that, take part in, and get a blessing from the service. The scripture text that I want to bring this morning is the 4th chapter of Hebrews. I'm going to do something a little funny. I'm going to read it last. That's what I was studying this week, and it was on my mind. And it's funny how the Lord sort of works everything together like that He does. But the 4th chapter of Hebrews is what I will get to in just a minute. If you want to go ahead and get ready on it, I've got a few scriptures that I'd like to read in leading up to it, if I can. The first one being in the book of Matthew in chapter 10, verse 22. I'll read it, get some thoughts from it. I'll give you a little explanation here, be honest with you. Tell a little personal thing, if y'all will forgive me for doing so, because the scripture is what we need to teach, but just so you know where your pastor's coming from. Friday night, my son Ben is 5, and this is his first year of kindergarten. He's got some good buddies in his class and in this church. And we had a little camping adventure at our house in the backyard Friday night. Brother Josh will agree with me to say five-year-olds is a challenge. And we slept in a tent Friday night. That's not easy on an old man like me. And Saturday, got up from that, got ready, and the church had had a church picnic at the park. We had a really good attendance for it, had a good time. It was a blessing. It's always good to do something relaxing and safe in a Christian atmosphere, get some good fellowship in the church. And we had a little volleyball game while we were there. That's not easy on an old man like me. And then last night, I'm thankful to say we had alumni basketball game opening the new gym there. And I saw a lot of you there. And some of you may have seen me struggling to get up and down the basketball court. That's not easy on an old man like me. I had the thought through this Friday night, Saturday night, and then two church services today. I thought, woo me, I'm not going to make it through the weekend. I really thought that it was going to be the end of me. As I thought about how tired that I was going to be and that I am standing here, I thought, all this is good. All of this is good stuff. I'm thankful for my son and my daughter and my family, the blessings of it. I'm thankful for our church and the fellowship that we have and the good time that we can have coming together. I'm thankful for my community. I'm proud of my school that I came from. I'm proud of the town of Clarksburg, the efforts that not only that I got in the school, but the efforts of our city that they have made to try to improve this town and to try to do things to move the city forward. I'm proud of being from Clarksburg, and it means a lot to come from a good place. And I am absolutely thankful for this church, you know, and the service that we're having today, that we'll have tonight, and the wonderful Spirit of God that we can enjoy in it. So I'm tired, but I'm tired for good things. You know, I'm exhausted from wonderful things, and I'm thankful for my life. And it occurred to me that I wanted some rest, but I wasn't going to get any, And then the thought occurred to me with that is that I'm not supposed to get any rest in this world. And there isn't supposed to be any end to my activities while I'm still on this earth. And so keep that in mind, if y'all will. Forgive me for the personal part in there, but that is where this comes from, of what I'm about to read. The book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 22. Jesus Christ, in His message to the disciples that He was sending out, He said unto them in the 22nd verse, I won't read the whole thing, just this one, to take this part. It says, "Ye shall be hated of all men for My name's sake," but focus on the last half of that. He says, "But he that endureth to the end shall be saved." Now that "saved" in that verse there isn't necessarily the salvation that you got at the beginning of your life for Christ. My salvation I experienced when I was 9 years old. And that was the start of my life for Christ. All my blessings that I have had, my family, what good that I got out of my town and my church, and all of these blessings that I have experienced through my life have come to me because of my faith. Because of the presence of Christ in my heart. And that happened at an early age. That happened when I was 9. My life for Christ has led to all of these other things. And if I didn't have Jesus, I don't know where I would be. Had I been born to any other family, had I been born in any other place, and had I not known Jesus at an early age, I don't know what kind of life I would be living right now. And I probably don't want to know. Because there is sin in me. There is the presence and the desire of sin inside of me that I struggle with constantly on a day-to-day basis. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning about how that we have to constantly try to overcome ourselves with Christ and let the Lord, the light of Christ, lead our lives. So if I didn't have Jesus, if I wasn't saved when I was 9, there's no telling what I would have done by now. And what I would do from here on out with my life. So that salvation is the beginning. But this one, "He that endureth to the end shall be saved." That saved is the product of that salvation. Because once my life is over, that is when I get to go to heaven. That is the being saved part of the product of my life. Enduring to the end. And I pray that I can do so. Over a little few pages in your Bible to the end of the book of Matthew in chapter 28, considering that he tries to encourage us to endure to the end, he says in the 28th chapter of Matthew in the 20th verse in his commission to the church, y'all have heard me read this and quote this so much lately, I guess I'm just trying to really lay it in your heart. He says in that commission to teach to them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, but he gives the encouragement. As he has already admonished us to endure to the end, he tells us in this verse, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. So he doesn't just tell us to endure to the end. He tells us that he will go with us until the end. That he'll go with us every step of the way. In Revelation chapter 22, I'll quote this. It's verse 13. I think he says it twice there at the end, in the 21st and the 22nd chapter. But he says, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." You can turn to that and read it if you want to. He says, "I am the beginning and the end." That's Jesus Christ whom we serve. He says there in the book of Hebrews, now turn to this one, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. He tells us in this part, in these two verses, to encourage us about our lives, about how to stick with Jesus through it all. Because there is no destination in this life. There is no place for rest while that we're here. There's no goal. The goal is heaven. The goal is having accomplished all that we can, lay down the working tools of life, you know, saying, "I have fought a good fight, I have lived a good life, I have kept the faith," and then going on unto the Lord's place, then going on unto heaven to enjoy it. There's nothing in this life that should say, "Okay, I'm done serving the Lord." You know, not graduation from high school or college, or not getting a promotion in your job. It's not marriage. It's not seeing your children saved. Now that's one that I've seen. I'm surprised how many times that I have seen that in my short life.
of the number of families that will serve the Lord diligently until all of their children get saved, and then you don't see them anymore. Like that was the goal that they were trying to accomplish. Not realizing that salvation is just the beginning of their children's lives. What is it to get them saved and then pull them away from the place that will teach them how to be a Christian? Teach them how to use that salvation and live in the joy of that salvation and ground them in the Word of God that they might go on to grow into wonderful Christians, servants of God. Because salvation is just that beginning. So there is no goal in that. You can't retire from being a Christian. You can't say, well, I've served Him for these many years and I'm tired now. I think I'll just sit down for a little while and let somebody else do it. I know that you can. Your duties can get a little less. Certainly, we understand that. But you're never done. You are never done. If you're in this world, then you've got a place. And you've got to be about the business of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says there, because we understand that life is not a destination, it's this journey. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, he says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's sitting down. He's sitting down because He came to this world and He died for our sins. He accomplished, He said before He died, that everything had been done. Every jot and tittle was accomplished that it was supposed to be. And that's just to say that jot and tittle is in the Hebrew language like what we say, we dot every I, we cross every T. That's all that means. A jot and a tittle is like the little parts of the Hebrew language, of the characters that they use in their alphabet. So that's what He said. He did it all. Every last little detail. And He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Now His work is not finished. We know that He is going to remain at the helm. He's going to remain in the work of Christ. He is the mediator between us and God. And He's going to keep on until His enemies are made His footstool. And the last enemy is death. When He returns unto this world and he calls the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. They'll put down all the evil in this world. Everything will be wrapped up in a final battle against Satan and those that would stand with Him. And then the new Jerusalem will come, and then, you know, that's what we're going to talk about in just a minute. Hint to a little bit in that fourth chapter of Hebrews. But as of right now, He's sitting at the right hand of God, the right side of the throne of God, because of all this work that He has done. We are trying to get there. We are trying to get to be where that He is. And He is the author and the finisher. That is to say, just as He did, the beginning and the end, Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning, that He is our salvation. And getting to where He is the end. And there's this wonderful journey in between that is life. And it's got difficulties, and it's got trials, and there's times when we're exhausted, and there's times that we're distracted, and there's times that we sin, but there's no time to quit. And there's no time to sit by idly while life just goes on without us. With that in mind, turn to the first chapter of 1 Peter. And Peter, through the inspiration of God, gives some instruction about how to live that journey and how to walk that walk, as we talked about in Sunday school this morning, walking and walking with God. He says in the first chapter of 1 Peter, verse 13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, The precious blood of Christ. That's how you know that you've been saved. That's what you are saved by. It's not of things that you would accomplish of this world. It's not of things that you have achieved of in this life. It is from Jesus Christ, the Son of God, His blood shed upon the cross. So what we have, the means of our salvation is heavenly. The hope of our eternal life is heavenly. Our thoughts and our lives should be towards those holy things and should be towards heaven. And this, so that doesn't leave any room for us to find rest and time of quitting here in this life. The journey is a work towards Him, towards our Savior. Now it says a little bit further here, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead, gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Listen to this. It says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Everything of the flesh is temporary. The fact that we're going to die is the ultimate part of what it's saying here. That flesh will wither, that grass will wither, that flower will falleth away. But it goes into more than that. Everything else, everything about life is temporary. Everything we gain in life is temporary. And the exhaustion that we experience in life is temporary. I can get me a nap this afternoon, and I'll be ready to go again. Not quite as quickly as I was 10 years ago. I can't get back to going as quickly as I could, you know, when I was younger. But I can get back going again. I get injured, I can heal. I get tired, I can rest. If I earn money, I have to spend it, and most of it's already spent. Everything in this life just keeps going over and over. There's so many things that are temporary in this life that we either we strive for that don't matter, or that we worry about that it's going to get taken care of in time. There's a lot of struggles that I go through in my day-to-day life that they don't really matter. They don't really matter. There's a lot of things that, you know, you say, well, if everything's wonderful, don't worry, it won't last. You know, there's trouble around the corner. The devil is always trying to work on God's children. He's always trying to hinder Christ's church. As soon as everything gets to going really, really well, you can be assured that something's going to happen. That something's going to cause a hindrance or a problem. Well, in that same respect, isn't it encouraging to know that if everything is going really bad and nothing seems to be going right, that won't last either. It won't. There's good that's right around the corner. There's blessings from God that are sure to shower down from heaven, and encouragement and strength that will surely come from His hand and will help you to overcome and will bring you unto greater days. So there's a lot of things about life that just are temporary. But God is forever. The word of the Lord in verse 25 endureth forever. So this is the word that is preached unto you, and this is what we should live for. This is what we should mark our time by. It's what have we done for God, and what should we do for God? And what is God's word? What does He want from us? And what does He expect from us? What have you done for Him lately, kind of thing? And that hope that we have in Him is what we offer unto the world. Look with me in one more passage before we close in the fourth chapter of Hebrews. It's in 1 Peter. A few pages over, turn to chapter 4. Two verses here for you to think about before we read the fourth chapter of Hebrews. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. It says, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, now Peter's talking to saved people here. So he says this, if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? What is that ask? What question is that asking? What is that trying to bring to our mind? Peter's trying to admonish us to serve the Lord. To be active, to understand that He is the end of all things. And as you're thinking about the end of your life, there are those that are here this morning that are lost. And I've already said there are many that are around in this community that are. And the end for them as it stands, if they do not come to Jesus Christ in repentant faith, if you're here today and you're lost and you have never been saved, if you don't come to Jesus Christ confessing your sins, repenting towards Him in faith, then your end is hell. Your end is a terrible end. To leave this world without Christ is to not be able to go where He is. To not be able to enter into His presence forevermore. And there's only one alternate to that. There's no limbo. There's no middle ground. There's no some waiting room somewhere while you get things worked out. When you die, as the Bible says in the Old Testament, where a tree falleth, there shall it lie. If you die and you've been saved, you go to heaven. If you die and you have not been saved, if you die without Christ, then you go to hell. And it's a sad truth, but it's one that we should consider, church, because what it's telling us here is that if it's supposed to begin at us, if this is our work, it's to let the judgment of Christ be, is to let this gospel work, what shall their end be? If we don't subject ourselves unto the will of God, if we don't serve the Lord in every capacity that we can, then the world doesn't have much hope. In that 18th verse, if the righteous scarcely be saved, if you go to heaven by the skin of your teeth, you've been saved but you've never served Him, you're not living for Him, then what hope do the lost people that have around you have to come to Christ? You haven't helped them at all. If the church can't do what they're supposed to, if God's people can't act like they're supposed to, can't do the job that He left for them to do, then what do we expect from the world? Where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? We talk about how sinful that the world has gotten and all the troubles that there are out in the world, but we don't have to look out in the world to find them. We can look around in our own homes and in our own churches. We look like the world a whole lot. And you know, I realize that there's a lot of sin to talk about in the world, and another sermon might go into those things in more detail, but what I'm trying to bring to mind here, as Peter did, is that when we get so down and out about the world, remember, you are the hope of the world. Jesus said that we are the salt. The salt of the earth. We are the light. We are the means of bringing the gospel. We're the ones that's supposed to make things better. We're the ones that's supposed to love unconditionally. Love as Christ loved. We're the ones that are supposed to go ye into all the world and teach and preach, baptize. We're the ones that are supposed to be helping others, loving our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and spirit, loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. We're the ones that are supposed to sell all that we have and give it to the poor. You know, there's so many things that God teaches, Jesus Christ did in His ministry. We're the ones that are supposed to have compassion. We're the ones that are supposed to heal. We're the ones that are supposed to help. And if we're not doing it, oh me, the world's in trouble. The world's in trouble. So there's no room, there's no rest for the children of God just yet. Turn with me over to the 4th chapter of Hebrews, and I'll end my thoughts here. He says, let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As He said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise. And God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? That there is this thought within every Christian, within myself certainly, as I've told you, I want a little rest. I want a little time to take ease. Now, Jesus Christ can give us peace in this life. And we can sit down when we get tired and we can renew our strength. All those things about physical rest is one part of what I'm saying here, but that's to be set aside. This is talking about spiritual rest. And what he's saying here, what Paul is saying here, is that there is no spiritual rest here because that's supposed to come later. There is a day where that will come. It's not today. It's not today. It wasn't before. And if that's all you've been doing is spiritually resting, then you're not doing what you're supposed to do. Because read further. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Meaning it remains. It's yet to be. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Are you done? Have you ceased from work? Have you ceased from doing for God? If you can breathe in, and you can breathe out, and you can testify of a knowledge of salvation, then you haven't ceased yet. You're not done yet. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. As it says again, we've got to do our part because the rest of the world is struggling whether or not to believe. They're struggling over these things. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. There it says, in these last three verses, this is an encouragement to you as Christians, and instruction and encouragement to you if you're here today and lost, to consider what Jesus is offering to you. In verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now the Apostle Paul is saying this to believers. He's trying to tell us that the rest is yet to be. That rest, that time where we can stop our works, is a distant thing. When we get to leave this world, when we get to go home to be with Him. So since we know that, and since the work is there, and since we have this great high priest before us, come boldly before the throne of grace. That doesn't say come lazily. It doesn't say come tomorrow. It doesn't say come half-heartedly. It doesn't say come when you get done with everything else. Or come whenever you feel like it. It's saying come boldly before the throne of grace. Now and with all the fervor that you have, seek to do God's will. Trust in Him that grace and mercy will be there to help in time of need. But unto you that are here today that are lost, as we gather a song together so that we can, as a church, stand together and let the Spirit of God work and stand together in hopes that this song will have an effect upon your soul. And let us stand together and let the Lord work, because somebody here today might need to come down for prayer, might need to seek the Lord for salvation. And hearing all this, there is not just a call unto the church to come boldly before the throne, but it is for you that are here that are lost. Come come boldly, come seeking, come trusting and believing, knowing that as the Scripture has instructed here, that the only reason that those others weren't able to enter in is because of unbelief. Do you believe in Jesus Christ today? Do you believe that He, you know, that He gave His life for this world? Trust in that. Seek this loving Savior. There is no peace and there is no hope in this world without Jesus Christ. You will never have that rest if you don't come to Jesus Christ. He is the author, the finisher, the end of it all. Let's look to Him today in faith. Give our trust and hope unto Him. And through Jesus Christ, not only can these lost be saved, but all of us together can endure until the end. May we stand together in faith, and may the Lord have His way.
149.